in Tashmina Aleph, Halachah Yud Gimel. Kli sheyesh bo tlai, a kli that has a patch on it. In kodem ha-tlai, l'vlis iser, if the tlai was put on before the iser was put on, then aim to rach la-sirin. Then, if you want to kasher the kli, you don't have to take off the tlai before you kasher it. The Kabbalah kach bolten, just like the bliya went in through the tlai, so too the bliya will come out through the tlai. When you kasher the kli, the bliya will come out with the through the tiles. In kodem bliya shel tlai, what happens if it was treif or chametz dip before you put the tlai onto it? Then tzarich lahasir tlai kodem hagalah. So then you have two choices: either you have to take the tlai off and kasher the kli without it, or yosim gachal ma'makom tlai ad shi tzarif guf isra in yeshna. Or your other choice is you put coals onto it and you do a libun. We'll hear exactly what in a second. You do a libun to burn away all the isra that's under there. Then the achach magen kol kli, and then you kasher the whole kli, including the patch on it also. The mushal eitz, if it's made out of wood, so you're not going to be able to put coals onto it, that's not going to work. Then elu takana, then you have no choices. Elu ken yachav hastak kol kach shiuchol hoytzim shom kumashu b'sach. Okay, I'm going to leave this end part of the din for next time. This has to do with a little bit of the end of the last time for the kli. Okay, so the mechavers said that if you have a tlai, then there's you have to kasher it, but you have a problem because the tlai is covering up something. So the Mishnah Berurah brings that there's two ways that we don't understand what pshat is. One pshat is that the problem here is that there might be the end stuck underneath this patch. When the guy put it on, he might have left some food underneath it. Hagol only works for bliyas, doesn't work for the end. So you could do hagol all day long, but you left the end underneath it. Okay, which is if you read the Mechaber, the end of the Mechaber sounds like that he says, Ad Shisar Gufa Isser. He's talking about as if there's a Gufa Isser there. He says, until you burn up the Gufa Isser, sounds as if he's talking about the end of something. Others learn that it's not because of this end, but it's because there are bleas underneath it, and those bleas can't come out. The bleas will put in directly. Now there's something blocking them. How are you going to get the bleas out? The way some say it's like two kelim touching each other. The hagol wood is banging against the outside of the kli, the ply. It's not getting to the inside. Okay, not getting to the second layer, and therefore it can't get the bleas out. Okay, now even that, before I explain that, has you conclude it says he talks about kabbalah kach polte. The beginning of the Mechaber talks about kabbalah kach polte, which is a talking about a bleah. The bleah went in through the ply, come out through the ply like that. So this is both mashmoyes in the Mechaber. Now the Mishnah Berurah points out that when he says that the chashash, that the hagola of the patch won't get through to the inside, to the deep part of the kli, I said it because it's like two kelim touching each other, which of course can't be for real what it means. Because if we look at it like two kelim touching each other, then there's no bleas. Then who cares? I'm not worried about bleas coming out of the kli. Okay? So what it means is, the Mishnah Berurah says, is some bleas do come out of the kli. Some bleas will come out, and the hagola will get out some of the bleas. Maybe because it goes through around the edges, you know, the patch maybe rolls over through the patch, but around the patch, how big is this thing? Just like we have bleas, speak about our handle, that the bleas can spread. The bleas can come out of the inside of the kli, but the hagol won't get all the bleas out. It'll get out some bleas potentially, and cooking will get out some bleas, but you won't get out all the bleas because there's this patch covering it, and therefore you can't get the bleas out.
So can you come out? Because some you say you can run out of it. In other words. Or maybe it's included before. It was if you have, you try to catch a mix of the kli.
In effect, that's what's going on.
Mix of the kli, you're not catching that spot.
Spot underneath the patch, you're not catching.
Uh-huh.
Right. But what the Mishnah is pointing out is that you can't say that it's as if it's two kli touching each other and no bleas will come out. None will come out. If you say no bleas come out, then what are you worried about? Use the kli. Who cares? No bleas will come out when you use the kli. When you cook the food and eat it, obviously some bleas are coming out. And Hagolah will then also take out some bleas.
So I was going to mention that,
okay, which is, that to be sure to miss that question, they say, is not about this thing, they say, is if you use a kli once, it's a place you could kli, and I cook noodles and part of a food meal, so what am I saying? Well, the bleas came out of the food. What's the answer? Maybe it didn't come out. So if you do anything less than what you're supposed to do, you could.
That's why they never to this case. So you're trying this because it can't get through.
Okay. But see, you,
What's the din if you kashya mixa sakli, and then you go and use only that mixa sakli that you kashya?
It's not good.
It's not good, but your friend is ma'at will come out from the...
That's correct. Because we're showing you this. It says, maybe in your in this pot, for what you did, brought no bleas. Maybe brought a half the bleas, and there are other ones that didn't come out the first time, they got the second time. They didn't come the first three times, they come out the fifth time. Because you never know. There's one way to get to all the bleas. If you don't do that and get to all the bleas, you don't know if you got anything out, if you got a little out, you don't know what's going on. It could come out tomorrow or the day. You don't know what's going to come out. So unless you do the full Hagola, you can never be sure you got that.
And some whole discussion of the Kashin Yusufi's Bay, there was some sheet that says that if you talk about Oysa Mikta, that you Kashin, then it's okay.
That has to do with the Ramah, whether you think the Bleas came out. It has to do with the other side. Do you think the Bleas spread to the other parts? Or do Bleas draw out of the parts?
Yeah, Bleas draw out, right. Like, some of it says Bleas will not draw out.
Some people say that, like, but over here, so the Mishnah, however we're going to say it, the Mishnah says it's got to be bleeds come out of that spot. The bleeds don't come out of those things. Let's say we'll say because it gets very hot in the back there. I don't know what it is. Somehow the bleeds are coming out because if the bleeds aren't coming out,
I'm asking you that.
How he came to that conclusion?
No, I'm saying that if it's slice or something, I don't know, a sheet or something, it could be even past like that. If you have to milk it to the thing, if you put it in a place, then you talk about it, that it was kashered. Or not? You have to be shy to the whole thing. It's something that you don't need to be shy to.
So that has to do with what we talked about this week about whether you say chametz lacham kulay, which is what the Magen Avraham says. He says there should be no bleas. Who cares? Or the bleas go in but they don't come out. Whatever you want to say in chametz lacham kulay. So and then what he says is not true. Because if it does get hot, then bleas will come out. The dinim of when bleas don't come out is when it doesn't get hot. It's when you talk. That's what they say.
Over here, it might get hot.
It's in the middle of the pot. You cook the pot, so the whole thing you got. If you think about the patch, it's got, how much is it covering? A small spot, so it's going to get hot. It's part of the cooking. Now, but I mention it because this is not really what's going on over here, but it's worth mentioning just for the chiddush of it. This Rishonim's kasha that why don't we say the bleas came out the first time you cooked in it? So the answer, no, maybe it didn't go out the first time, we got the second or third time. So Lorybelsky has a chiddush like this. He says it.
So 100 times, then it's okay.
900 times, right? No. He says, let's say you cook in a pot. We look at a little company, and we come there, and for 5 years they've been using kosher meat. Okay? We could see that for 5 years. But no one ever kashed the candle, and who knows what happened more than 5 years ago. So he says, after a bunch of years, you say, it's kosher. Why? He says, why? He says, because we could believe that the bleas don't come out the first time. Maybe they come out the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, or the fifth. He says, but how many times can you use the kli and say, the bleas are waiting?
Because at times, it's a month.
Yes. How many times can you say that the bleas are waiting for the rabbi to show up? Waiting just until we showed up. And
the idea is going to try to look right because you forgot the kasher. Okay, we got the kasher now.
Right.
That's
so, right. So that's what he says. And it's not far-fetched, although he won't give you an official get to it. There's no, official limit. It's actually 4 years or 5 years. But when it sounds good enough, then he lets it. So now, this thing is not really the opposite of that, because a person in his home, how many times do you use a pot? I have a pot and I have this patch on it. So maybe since this one, I use it one time or five times, or it's before Pesach. So I used the chametz 3 times ago, 5 times ago. It's not exactly the case over here. The case over there is in a company, they used to pot every single day, again and again and again. They used it for 5 years. How many thousands of times can you use it?
Yeah, because a company gets a used piece of equipment, you trace back what the last company did, maybe.
Right, you see, but before that.
Before that, I don't know, I'm going to go back to the history of the case. That company, where they got it from?
Well, if they got it from a commercial company, you hope that they took care of it.
No, but let's say they get it from a company that does something. You can look at the company.
They get raw milk. And then they want it. The company's pre-sold to use it for raw milk. But guys before that could use it for whey or something like that.
Okay. So I'm just mentioning, it's not really an opposite to this thing, but I was going to mention it. Okay. Now, the Mishkur says there's enough gemina. Maybe it's a shy thing. There's enough gemina between the two reasons. Okay. A simple enough gemina between the two reasons, whether it's because there's the end underneath it, whether there's for the players, is what happens if before you put the patch on, you cleaned it. Which I don't even understand what the question is. You think that any normal person would do that? Well, if you cleaned it before you put the patch on, well, if you cleaned it before you put the patch on, then there's no problem with bend. Then the mustache could be bleeding. It can't be bent. You knew it was clean. I don't understand that. What you should be. I left a banana underneath it when he put the patch. I don't understand what the shot is.
Grimy residue.
A little bit. Okay. So he's talking about because that's the game. So probably we're talking about there's a little bit left under there. Okay. That brings us to the next thing, which is when the Machabah says if you want to kasher it, you could do put coals onto it and do leave onto this. Do put coals onto it. Okay? What is the point of putting the coals onto it? What are you trying to do? It's some kind of a libun. So the Mishaguru says, again, two reasons, depending on why you hold, you have to kasher underneath the patch in the first place. If you think it's for the end, so then what you're doing is you're doing libun. He says, if you look at Machadal, you'll see that you could do libun kal to burn away the end. If there's little bits of the end on the kli, and you do libun kal, it burns away the end. Okay? Not big pieces. If you leave a whole potato on there, it's not going to burn up libun kal. But there's little bits of the end left out there. You can clean up little bits of the end by doing libun kal.
And that's in the front. Over here, it's behind the piece.
Oh, so wait, exactly. So,
why is it a little summer here?
No. So, the Mishabir says, according to that, you do libun kal. The coals are just libun kal. The coals are just libun kal. He says, but some hold, in Shabbatim, but some hold, you have to leave a chomer for that to end. He doesn't explain why. And the reason is going to be is because it's being blocked by the patch. Even though we say libun kal works because of the end, that's a differentiation in halachah that it works, libun kal works again. So, Lachari doesn't say, but Lachari, the reason is going to be is because behind the patch, it's not going to work. Libun kal, okay? It doesn't burn up the end through the thing. There's other reason, but the Mishmur likes that reason. He thinks that if it's for the end, you can do libun kal. What about if it's for bleez? If it's for bleez, then he says you would need libun kal. Okay, if it's for bleez, you need libun kal. Now, before I answer a question, and then he finishes off, since the ikur is like the first day, that's because of the end. And since most people within the sheath of the end hold that libun kal gets rid of the end, so he says, if the kli's ain't a binyamin, you could do libun kal. If it's ain't a binyamin before Pesach, you could get rid of whatever's behind the tie by doing libun kal. You don't have to libun kal. Which is to say, we're passing mikradin, the main sheath is that it's the end, and within that, most people hold that the reason libun kal would get rid of it also. So we're sort of being samach on these two things together to say, at least if it's ain't a binyamin, you could be samach and you could do libun kal. That's the Mishabur ends off. So, why do you need libun gomer if there's bleez? Not for then. If the problem is because of bleez, why do you need libun gomer? So, that's because you're not using a direct fiber. Okay? And it brings us to a completely different child, which I had really meant to talk about in halach yirah, but I forgot to, so I'm going to tell you about it now. Two shahs about libun gomer. But sort of negate to this. What's the shear to do libun kal for bleez? I'm not talking about for then. Shear libun kal for bleez. How hot does the thing have to get? So there's a misconception. The Mordechai says like this. People say the shear is kash nesraf. That's not the truth. The Mordechai, who's the makor for the din of libun kal to take place of a kol, is based on a gemara, but the Mordechai is the one who really talks about it. Says like this. If you put the heat fire onto the kli until the point that it's so hot that it will be yatzeh, let us go on the other side. Then, as Rabbi Shechter explained it, if it's yatzeh, let us go on the other side, it means the fire penetrated the whole thickness of the kli. You could tell that by the fact that it's yatzeh, let us go on the other side. Then, that takes the place of hagol. That's what the Mordechai says. It's, now, how are you going to know if it's yatzeh, let us go on the other side? It's not editorial. I mean, you don't stick your hand onto there, you're going to burn yourself. How are you going to know if it's yatzeh, let us go on the other side? So he says, if you stick a piece of kash onto there and the kash will burn, then you can be sure that it's yatzeh, let us go. Okay, so that means is right. So kash nisraf is be machmir on this. You say instead of sticking your fingers onto there and burning yourself every time you're trying to kash your kli, instead here's a test to figure out whether it's yatzeh leh or not. But that's not the shear. The shear is yatzeh leh at this point, and the kash nisraf is a test for it. Okay, that is to say, when we say the shear for yatzeh leh, the shear for libun kal is kash nisraf. That's not the shear. The shear for libun kal as hagol is really yatzeh. So let this point on the other side. You test it with kash nisraf. Lafuke, I'm putting this as the other side. Lafuke, the hagol is maimini, who holds that libun kal is really libun. By him, libun kal is libun. The shear is kash nisraf. It's not that the test is kash nisraf. The shear for libun kal to be libun is kash nisraf. That's the shear that makes libun kal.
I didn't know how this one is making those holes.
Well, that
libun kal is always good.
Right, they hold libun kal is libun. When he says libun kal is libun, he means that is really kash nisraf. Then he says the shear is until the kash nisraf. That's the shear.
But when we do libun kal for hagola.
When you do it for hagola, the shear is yatzeh leh.
He might be moider to the Marukai.
He might be moider
to the Marukai to get the hagola.
Yeah, it has nothing to do. Those are they're really two different things. They're both called libun kal, but they're really two different things, and both of them have a at least in the Shulchan Aruch, have a practical shear of Kashrut Nisrav. Instead of putting your hand there, the shear is in the Lamaisa, you test it by Kashrut Nisrav, but that's not really the shear. Really, the shear is got to go this way. I say it, first of all, because people are confused, but also a lot of people say, well, everybody holds the shear is Kashrut Nisrav. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, it's got to go this way. As if he's holding on everybody else, and they say, we go like Shulchan Aruch Rav. But it's not true. He doesn't argue. Nobody disagrees with what it says in the Mordechai. The Mordechai says the shear is Yad Vlad's book.
And Mordechai is talking about Hakola?
He's talking about Hakola. He's going to take when Rebukah takes the place of Hakola, he says, instead of Hakola, you could do.
So there's a reason.
So there's,
the
Rebukah is going to place my knee and
the
Mordechai.
No. He's talking about what the shear really thinks Reuben is, what we call Rebukah.
He says, the Gemara says it's a guzma, it's too much, you can't do it.
Uh-huh.
The shear, so he says, the shear is Tashnisha, that's the real shear.
Uh-huh.
But this is a different thing.
Maimini is not saying that this is Leibon Gomer. I'm sorry, the
Mordechai
is not saying
that
this
is. No, he's talking about Hakola. It takes place to Hakola. So Yatzfah is. Then that shows that the Hebrew will change all the way through. If the Hebrew all the way through, Yatzfah shows that it will suggest it. The way he tested, if you do Kashnisha. That's how he says it. That's the tenet. The Shulchan Aruch Rav is not arguing with everybody else. He's just saying what the Mordechai really said. It's just that's a din. There's no argument. That's what I know of, that's it. That's what it is. So now, I ask you a question. You want to do Leibon Kal to your oven, okay? Which many hold you could do Leibon Kal. Mitzvah, and a few halachos will get to that. You can do Leibon Kal to Kashi Oven. Okay. How do you Kashi Oven? How do you do Leibon Kal to your oven? So, how do you leave out to anything? So you say you'll ask Rabbi Yalski, and he'll tell you is, do 550 for an hour. Or 475, I think, for an hour and a half. Or 375 for 2 hours. I forgot the numbers that he has. So, where did he come up with that shear? So he says, the shear is because they took pieces of paper, stuck it into an oven, and they saw, he said, this is done by people 30, 40 years ago, 40 years ago. Put the paper into the oven, and they saw that after an hour, at 550, it started to burn or turn brown. And at 375 for 2 hours, each one of those things, it was like a test. They put a piece of paper into it. So, and therefore, they said that, you see that this temperature for that long does the trick. Very nice. Very nice. That's the trick. You'll be cautious of that shear. But that's not the shear. The shear is, you have to let this point. So why don't we see when it'll be at this point? You know when it's going to be at this point? Really quickly. Because the oven walls are paper thin, like a tenth of an inch thick, the walls, and there's insulation on the other side. So as soon as your oven gets up to 200 degrees, as soon as your oven gets, and let's say for 5 minutes at 200 degrees, you know that the whole thickness of the wall is at the lattice point. Right? It doesn't take that long for a tiny, thin piece of metal, which has insulation on the other side, in a burning hot oven, to get out. So you have a thermostat. When the thermostat says it's 200 degrees, I don't know, 150 degrees, 200 degrees, let it sit there for a couple of minutes, it'll be at the lattice point. What are you calling for Kash Nisraf? Who cares about Kash Nisraf? Kash Nisraf is not the shear. Kash Nisraf is the test for the shear. We have a fancy way to test it. We have a thermostat. We can't put our finger on the inside. You can't get your finger to the outside of the inside of the oven. What are you looking for shear Kash Nisraf? So he said, so Rodowski said, he said, no. He said, the only time you could use the shear of Kash Nisraf is only, the only time you could use the shear of Yad Vlad's display. And Leibon Kal is talking about when you put a piece of coal or a fire right onto the kli. When you put things right onto the kli, then you could say that the fire penetrates and does this hagola. He says, but in an oven, you're not putting the fire right onto the kli. You have just a warm chamber. In a warm chamber, you can't say that just being in a warm chamber to yatzlis from the inside is enough to make it kasher. No, there's no makar to kasher like that. The only Leibon Kal that works as Hagol is when you put the fire onto it, you put the coals onto it, then it has direct contact, it does its thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it just by putting it into a warm chamber, warm chambers don't do the trick, don't make kashering at that temperature. And therefore they decided that it should be a kasher shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it turns out that Leibon Kal, the way he's saying the 550 is sort of like a made up thing. It's not. The shear that the Mordechai says, it's like a new thing of Kash Nisraf by being in a warm chamber. Okay, now, a little bit, this din sounds like what he's saying. Because this is what's going on here. We have a piece of kli, and we have a tli in front of it, and the fire, the coals are right on the tli. How much do you have to heat it up to get the blias out of the back, the second layer? So, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you want to get the blias out, you have to do Leibon Gomer. And we said, why don't you leave in college? Oh, because there's something in between it. Okay, so what? So there's something in between it. The thing is burning hot. Who cares? Pretend that there'd be a space there, or there'd be nothing. Oh, what's the difference if there's something in the way there? Lamaise is the fire is affecting that the real clean, which is behind the patch. So we should say that the what it does to that patch, we should get the bleeds out. So it sounds like a Rodelsky, which is, since it's not in direct contact, just being hot is not enough. To be hot doesn't do the trick. You have to be direct contact, and then you could use this to Godzilla this way. But if you're just hot, that's not good enough. Am I getting sense? Over here in the Klai, what's going on is the Klai, why can't Leibel, why is Mishpah saying Leibel Kau will not do the trick to get bleeds out? Why not? Why shouldn't Leibel Kau get bleeds out? So the reason is, I'm saying, according to Rabelsky, you'll say, well, because there's a Klai in between them. It doesn't let you get the bleeds out.
Well, Rabelsky says that Leibel Kau temperature is good enough.
Well, he says not. So you think maybe
it's not Leibel Kau, not Leibel
Kau. You're right. So maybe that's like a question. Here the Mishnah says you have to Leibel Kau. Okay, it's a question. The truth is, there's a much more serious question.
Right, good.
Okay, the question is that there's a much more serious question, which is, Rabelsky saying that there is no makar to saying by warming up a chamber you could do Leibel Kau. Okay. In fact, there is an exact case of this thing is Mamash's case. Now, we'll see that I'm not sure what it says in that din. But it's a very thin. So it's not in Tafnun no Alf, it's in Taf Samachal, which is the din of a baking matzah. That tells you how do you cash your oven before you bake matzah. So even though Hilchos HaGolos came with Taf Nun Alf, Taf Nun Beis, Taf Samachal has a little bit of that cashing your oven. And it says, how do you cash your oven? There's different ways to do it. And one of the ways is you fill up the whole floor of the oven with coals. And that cashes your oven. In fact, I'm going to run. Wait a second. You filled up the whole floor, so you did leave them going to the floor. What happened to the walls? What happened to the roof? They have like a chamber. So you did the whole floor.
Why did you do the walls and the roof?
They have bleeds.
So how did they make them up?
That's a good question. I have no idea. I was wondering that. We're talking about matzahs, the dry matzahs. How are you going to bleeds coming out of it? I don't know. This is kind of
a question.
No. When you cook dry things in a thing, they don't bring
matzahs. There's no
zeya from matzahs. So I guess. Okay. But
you can't travel even through the walls.
Can't.
In dry conditions?
Okay, that's a good question. Maybe that's what he means.
Maybe you put that matzah directly on the thing.
On the wall?
Maybe.
Okay, I'm not sure. That's a good answer. I thought a different answer maybe that on Pesach we're machmir for Recha even without Zeya. Maybe that's what the chashash. I don't know what
the first before the Recha usually.
You bake
by the walls.
No, because you're right, because the masses will give recha into the walls, but not to get the bleeds out. You're right, I'm sorry, that's wrong. Right, I'm saying the masses will give recha out if there be chomets and mats in the same thing.
No.
You're right, correct. Maybe it's because I'm not sure. So the mother says, how are you going to get the bleeds out? I'm not here for the question. Listen to the answer. So he says this. He says, when you're right, the coals don't do it, but when you heat up the oven to bake the masses in it, when you heat it up, you're going to put fire into the oven to heat up the matzahs. So then the walls will get a kashrut. The walls will get kashrut when you heat up the oven. You're not putting fire onto the walls. What is he talking about? So he's obviously talking about a Leibel Kau to those walls, which is fine. That's all they need. They only had a bleed there. So, or Recha. It's a Leibel Kau. What's going to go on over here? You can come here one morning and chol moed, you can decide you want to make matzahs. Okay? You're going to light up the oven and let it sit there for a couple of minutes until it gets nice and hot. And then you can throw in your matzahs. And that's the kashrut. So, what's going on here? What did you do? How hot? Did you put a fire onto the walls? No. Did you do hagol? No. Did you leave them govern? No. What did you do? You just heated it up. So, you do leave them cow. You do leave them cow without putting a fire onto the chamber. You do leave them exactly like I do in my oven. You turn the fire on, you put it into a warm chamber. It's in a warm chamber, and what happens? The walls get hot, and that's considered leave them cow. So, what happened? Now, everybody says, I don't know what this means. They will say, oh, it's Kabbalah Kachpoltei. So like the bleeds run in through this hot oven, they come out like that. I don't know what that means. But no one says it's got to sit there for an hour at that temperature. Where are we saying that it has to sit 550 for an hour? So without, I don't know exactly what the shear is, and I don't know how hot it got. But you see that whatever temperature it has to get, when it hits that temperature, it's hot enough. I suspect that their walls were much thicker than ours were. You know, it's a clay oven or a brick oven, a clay oven, and the walls get hot. So after a couple of minutes, it takes time to warm up an oven to start it up. By the time it gets hot, the shear is like, that's all it's on the other side. The heat really penetrates the walls, and then you ate the kashrut. So that case over there is talking about you're warming up a warm chamber, exactly what we do, and it's, I'm guessing, leave and cow. I don't know what else to call that thing, leave and cow. And what does it say? It doesn't say you have to leave it there for a certain amount of time. It says, when you cash to the floors, you have to make sure you get coals in every single spot. And if you just warm it up, it's not good enough. There's all kinds of rules about the floor. But the walls, there's no rules. It's the point that the Magen Avraham has to, like, figure it out by himself. Well, the walls, oh, when you hit the oven, that'll happen. It's like such an automatic kashrut. So there's no shear. There's no, it has to sit there for this amount of time. So maybe it's 550. I don't know how hot it is. I don't know what, but my point is that whatever hot you think it's going to get, when it hits that temperature, it's a kashrut. If you were to ask me, what is it going to handle? It's going to take, how do you heat up an oven? When you want a baker's oven, he heats it up until it's really nice and thick, or everything's really hot, and then he puts food in. That means is until the heat penetrates the entire walls, it's really nice and hot and thick, hot and ready to cook, then I put the food in. And the oven, it's not like us, we just stick the food in, you get it preheated really well. But that's what the Mordechai says. When the heat goes all the way through the Dirk Nekli, the way Rabbi Shach looks at it, till it's the outside of the it's really penetrates the walls, that's considered leaving calm. So it sure sounds to me, from the din over there, that the leaving cow doesn't take time. Now, I'm going to say to you, the people say there that it looks like Kabbalah Kachot to the same amount of heat. So it may very well be that you can't do Yad Kaledis, but somehow, whatever that means, that it has to be Kabbalah Kachot, I don't know what that means, whatever that means, we can say that in our oven, you have to turn it to 550. Maybe you have to turn it to the highest heat. I don't know. I don't understand how Kabbalah Kachot has to do with temperature here. Whatever it is. But even so, my point here is, when it gets to that temperature, you see from Tosfos Machal that it just has to get to that temperature and then you're ready to go. So why by us also the same thing? When my thermostat, my oven beeps when it hits its preset temperature, turn to 550, wait till it beeps that it's hit that temperature and we're finished. It's penetrated, or 2 minutes later, it's penetrated the walls. The walls are paper thin in our walls. So that's a question. Meaning, what Rebetzky is saying is there's no Makarsis din, and therefore we made up this pretend Kashmir Rav. And Mechorin is a very exact case of that. Okay? At the same time, his kula to say 375 2 hours is also questionable, because there the people talk about it, whatever it means, they do Kabbalah Kach Poter, just like when you bathe, this temperature does the trick, so here for also. So where, I guess most people don't bake at 550, but I'm saying, but if you boil something in the oven, it does at a very high temperature, so he's letting you get away with less than that. That's a question.
Do you remember what the per number size was for 550 or 500?
It was 550 for an hour.
For an hour?
For an hour.
That's a half hour for half hour.
So he says, I'm telling you, so when you say to him, people who are saying 550 for half an hour are basically saying is, wait till it gets to 550. Put on to 550, let it sit till it's really nice and baked in, and it's like really hot all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
That's what half an hour is. His hour is not that. His hour is, because they tested it and found out that if you leave the paper in there, if the 550 for an hour is, it starts to show signs of burning in this manner. Maybe it was after 45 minutes. They decided on that.
Well, you put the paper in the beginning, and that's what happened?
You put the paper in. This is what he said. He said, for 30 minutes. So, of course, I probably didn't take an hour. It probably took 45 minutes. And probably took 25 minutes and 48 minutes. And like that's what he said, an hour, just like a set amount of time. I said, it took an amount of time until they saw. They said, well, at that point, the cash started being this rough. So the paper started being this rough. So that shows that it mimics putting the fire onto it. I'm just saying is that there is a very specific din that's exactly this question, and it doesn't get the issue. The other numbers I don't remember offhand. I think it's 450 for an hour and a half, or 475 for an hour and a half, and 375 for 2 hours. I haven't written down. We can look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying is that his whole claim is because there's no Makar to it, and I'm saying there is. Maybe we could see from Tosfos Machal that you can't just do Yad Tzeled this way. In a warm time, you don't just do Yad Tzeled. Even that I'm not convinced it doesn't say that. But, okay, so I was really going to do another thing about leaving Kyle. Maybe we'll save that for next week when we finish it then and do the welding and stuff like that.